today's introduction, I asked the Lord for a verse, and this came to my mind immediately. And it is from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Indeed, whatever life challenges that you're facing, right, the key to victory is learning to face them with a spirit of joy as you rely on God's strength to help you overcome the obstacles. And this verse aptly introduces today's speaker. I've known him for many years, and one thing I remember of him is his big smile. And he has such great joy that is always so encouraging. Right, and without further ado, let us put our hands together to warmly welcome Pastor Yong Tai Tong.
Thank you very much, Joanne. And it's so good to be here with all of us again. I say again because actually I was asked to preach to this church online though, like December 2020. Yeah. Okay. And so it's like coming back, and which I really consider as a privilege. And let me just also take the opportunity to greet those who are online, right? I remember that when I came in December 2020, I was basically only a Zoom service, and I could see the people on Zoom, you know, the rectangles with video pictures and so on and so forth. And Elder Daniel was telling me at that point in time that you will be having a physical service in 2021, right? Well, fast forward, what, 1.5 years? Now I come back to be amongst you. What a joy. And you are meeting physically as well as online. And you have your own website, your Facebook page, your Podbean, which I don't even know what it's about, but I realize it's some kind of like a video sharing thing. And you even have a very, very nice mission or purpose statement from favor to flavor. And so I thought, what a much needed mission or purpose that the society, the community, the marketplace needs. And I thought I would entitle this message then, From Favor to Flavor, but then subtitle it with Shine Like a Star. And it is my privilege today to come and bring God's Word to us. And it's such a joy to be kind of like reunited with many of you I kind of like know, right? At least if not by name, by sight too, right? And I'm not too sure who are those that are viewing online right now, but let me just say, in Christ, we are one family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's bow our heads and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come amongst us. God, I thank you so much that indeed, as your word says, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. And so Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and take center stage right now. And the Lord promised that you will come and lead us into all truth. And Lord, that you will speak to us and make plain to us what is on the heart of God. And so, Holy Spirit, we say to you right now, we are all ears on you. Our hearts are open to you. Come and speak your word to us so that we might be strengthened, might be encouraged, that our faith in you may deepen and strengthen, so that we might be your ambassadors, your flavor, bearing the aroma of Christ everywhere we go. Thank you so much, Lord. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us individually, and corporately, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder whether you've heard of this song. It goes like this. Scintillate, scintillate, diminutive asteroid. Anybody ever heard of this song before? You look at me and you say, is he speaking Greek or Latin or something? let me give you a clue. Actually, you know this song, all right? It is the bombastic version of a very common nursery rhyme. Anybody want to try now? Karen, you know, right? Okay, you know that too? All right, good, good, good. I see a few. No, some of you still don't know what it is? What's that? Louder? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. All right, scintillate, scintillate means twinkle. All right, diminutive is small or little, and asteroid, star. All right, well, today I'm not here to teach us about nursery rhymes or this twinkle, twinkle, little star, but I just felt like it is appropriate for me to first remind you of the fact that each and every one of us, in some sense, is the light in our community, is the star that God has placed us in. We are to shine wherever the agora, the marketplace, the public space that God has put us in, we are to shine as stars. Because after all, when you think about it, Jesus himself says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus didn't just say that he himself is the light of the world. He says, you, disciples, you who follow me, you are the light of the world. All right? Wherever God has planted you, there you are his light. Make no mistake about it. All right? You are already inherently, by the fact that you are disciples of Jesus, the light of the world around you. All right? This is not the only passage in scriptures that talk about us shining. All right? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15, maybe we can all read this aloud together. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Paul reminds us that we are to shine like stars in the sky. Okay? We are, through our different values, through our different behavior, through our lifestyle, shine like stars in a world that is darkened, that is just in need of the light of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I come across a person who has a difficult background, who has, you know, probably some family background, some handicap, some maybe hurts and strife in the family that kind of affected them and that sort of like helped them back in life, or maybe they're actually physically handicapped, right? And they have been held back in some way or other from advancing in society, from achieving in society. I don't know how you respond, but whenever I see such a person, right, or know of such a person with that kind of a difficult background, there's a sense of, well, I don't know whether you call it empathy or whether it's maybe sympathy to a certain extent, all right? But I feel in some sense sorry for them, all right? That they have been restrained, they have been held back, they are not able to achieve their potential because of some of this handicap. I don't know whether that's how you feel sometimes, right? That sense of sympathy and sadness for such people, all right? But if you see them, such people, despite their background, despite their physical handicap, they rise up and they, you know, achieve some accomplishments in society. I mean, you just think for a moment, Yip Pin Xiu, all right, or some of those Paralympians, and then you say, wow, I mean, they're a source of inspiration, all right? And I mean, it causes you to kind of like light up a little bit, and there's hope in this world. There's hope in society for those who are struggling with a difficult background, all right? Well, I came into contact with such a person when I was in secondary one. That's a long time ago. And he was, paralyzed. He was affected. He contracted polio when he was 2 years old. And as a result of that, he was confined to a wheelchair growing up. All right. So when I saw him in secondary one, we were in the same class. At that time, he was on wheelchair, but whenever he moved, he had to be using crutches. Okay? And so he couldn't jump, he couldn't run, he couldn't play many of the games and the sports that fellow teenagers like ourselves were able to do. Okay? And thank God that there were some classmates that were kind of helping him around, moving around and just being helpful. Alright? But I lost touch with him after that, and many years later, in fact just maybe in the last 10 years or so, I reconnected with him through somebody else, a mutual friend, and I was, wow, he was now a medical doctor. He was a neuroscientist. He was a Paralympian who was a record holder of those races on wheelchairs. I can't quite remember what you call them, all right? Wheelchair races or something. And in fact, he was a cancer overcomer, all right? I don't know whether you know him, this is Dr. William Tan, all right? Used to be my classmate, okay? Used to struggle with a lot of those physical challenges, but he rose up, all right? And despite all those challenges, he has made it in some sense in society. Right? He's accomplished much. He's a source of inspiration. And to me, he is a shining star. He carries, he embodies the message that even those people who have a difficult background, who have physical handicaps that they struggle with, they can make it in life. Amen? And brothers and sisters, why am I sharing this with you? I want you to know that God has called you to be a shining star. God has called you in your life, no matter what struggles, difficulties, hard background that you may have come from, present difficulties, maybe even in some sense, baggages and handicaps that you're carrying, even right now, okay? God wants to use you to bring a message to the world around you that even people in such situations can rise up and succeed in life, right? And let me just encourage you then encourage you by looking together with you at an ordinary man who had a painful background, right? But who honored God, and whom God therefore honored, and rose up to be a prominent man, an honorable man, a man of influence, and above all, a man that God commends as somebody that is worthy of you and me emulating after, learning from, and rising up to become like. All right? And what I'm talking about is a man, Jabez. There are only two verses in the whole of the Bible that talks about this man, Jabez. They are found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. All right? And Maybe you can just read this two verses aloud together, all right? Even under your mask, you can do that, all right? But let's just read the Word of God. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Now I want to highlight to you that the Holy Spirit was obviously in the writing of this scripture calling us to pay attention to this man. Because if you read the first three chapters of the book of 1 Chronicles, in fact right up to verse 8 of chapter 4, you find that it's basically a genealogical record of the various tribes of Israel. And you find name after name after name with no comments, with no description. Alright, it's almost like reading a family tree, I think. Alright? Family tree may still be more interesting because it's a pictorial representation. But this is just name after name after name after name. Alright? Phone directory, alright, or something. Not very interesting. Actually, to be honest, a bit boring if you just read it through. Alright, because nothing is said about these people. Okay? Suddenly, out of all this sea of names, nondescript men, comes two verses that burst onto the scene, Jabez. And he was more honorable than his brother. So this is a man whom the Spirit of God wants us to pay attention to. Right? And then, basically, these two verses tells us why he was named Jabez, the background that he had that gave him the name Jabez, and the prayer that he prayed, and of course the commendation from the Lord that God answered his request. If you can, if you might just interpret that, God's stamp of approval was on him. Alright? So in other words, as we read through this passage and we come to these two verses, the Holy Spirit is basically just trying to catch our attention to say, watch out for him. Learn from him. There's something that I want you to pay attention about Jabez. That if you imitate his example, then God too, his stamp of approval will be upon you. And in some sense, you'll be honored in the eyes of God. Can I say to you that Jabez is an inspiration to all who are unhappy with their past or their present circumstances and who long to break through to a better future so that they can flavor their agora, their marketplace, the public space that God has placed within their influence. All right? The question then is, what do we know about Jabez? What kind of a painful background did he have? All right? And how did he rise to prominence and honor? All right? And therefore, what we can learn from him. And can I suggest to you that if you and I are to experience the favor of God in order to flavor our circle of influence, then you and I, we need, like Jabez, to overcome difficulties, to overcome failures and shine like a star. And the first thing that we can learn about how we can overcome our difficult background, our failures, our setbacks to shine like a star is that we need to be dissatisfied with the status quo. We need to be dissatisfied with the status quo. Now, just to paint you a little bit of the background, why was Jabez named Jabez? First, the name Jabez sounds in Hebrew like the word pain. Alright, in fact, some people think it that Jabez just means pain. Alright? A sadness. And why did Jabez get the name Jabez or pain? Because, verse 9 tells us, when his mother gave birth to him, she experienced unusual pain. I guess every mother will experience pain in giving birth to the child. But in her case, it was an unusual, extraordinary pain that she experienced. So much so that she decided to name her son Pain, Jabez. Now, can you imagine? Imagine that your name is Pain. You go around and your friends, I don't know, even know whether you have friends, but those that you're moving around with, hey, Pain! Or, look at you, jinx, bad luck, you bringer of pain, and terrible. Some people have nicknames, because it sounds a bit like their names, but this one is not just a nickname, this is the name itself, Pain. And I mentioned that he would grow up with all the baggages of this kind of bad name that he is landed with, bullied probably, maybe excluded from the social circle. In present day terminology, perhaps cancelled. All right, but I think it was difficult for him. All right, but more than that, I want you to know that in Hebrew culture, the name represents the future, represents destiny. So actually, in a sense, it was quite unwise for the mother to name him Jabez, Pain. But that's his future that he was looking forward to. That's a bleak destiny that was awaiting him, that he would bring pain to himself, that he would bring pain to the people around him. Can I suggest to you that if you grow up with that kind of background, probably there will be a lot of unhappiness and a lot of dissatisfaction within you. And I suggest that that was exactly how he felt. Because, you see, then it prompted him, in response to that, to cry out to God. And what did he cry out to God? He said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And can you hear that groan there? Oh, oh. It's an exclamation of pain, of unhappiness, of dissatisfaction, of I've had enough of it already. And the word indeed, bless me indeed. The word indeed in Hebrew, when added to a request like this, is like a exclamation, triple exclamation mark, capitalized in bold form. It's like emphasizing it so strongly that you gotta catch it. It's like saying, "Bless me, bless me, bless me. Please, please, please bless me." Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. It is that dissatisfaction with whatever he was experiencing. And then you look at his prayer. He says, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not, what? Pain me. What's pain in Hebrew?
Jabez.
Jabez. In other words, Jabez is saying, keep me from harm, that it may not Jabez me. Can you see how sick and tired he is of himself? He wants a change. He's not satisfied. He wants a better future. He doesn't want to stick with the status quo. He's had enough of it. Reminds me of when I first came into pastoral ministry, and this is a long time ago already, again, maybe about 34 years or so. And I was, I remember very clearly, we were in SLF auditorium, or rather, I was on that particular afternoon in the SLF theaterette, all right? Yeah, we which is, I mean, one of the two buildings there in SLF. And I remember I did my first, I don't know what you call it, teaching or preaching as a pastor or pastoral intern. And I was assigned, of course, to the young adults. And there were in front of me 80 young adults, 18 to 25 years old, national servicemen, university students, polytechnic students, young working adults, and they were all before me. And here I was teaching them. I cannot remember exactly what, maybe it was something about self-image and about what God views us or something. And it must have been a very soothing and a very moving teaching that I gave that day. You see, it was so soothing. Some people were yawning, others were nodding. And I counted in my mind four young men falling asleep. It must have been a very moving teaching because I could see all over that little theater, people fidgeting. I mean, it was like if they had an opportunity, they'd probably be standing up and just moving out or something. And I was smiling on the outside, but inside, I was crying. Inside, I was devastated. Inside, I was telling God, I said, God, if this is how I'm going to do as a pastor, I think I'd better quit as a pastor. Right. Otherwise, I'd really be sending people to sleep all the time. And I was just crying out to God. I said, Lord, I cannot continue like this. There was a determination, a desire, crying out within me to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm dissatisfied. Lord, do something, help me to do something to change so that when I teach, when I preach, there will be people who engage with me. People will not just be falling asleep on me. I was going to, you know, just look to see whether there's anyone here. Thank God you're very encouraging. I don't know those that are watching me online. All right, but to tell the truth, sometimes even today, there are still one or two of them that do fall asleep on me. All right, but can I say this to you? I've come a long, long way. I've come a long way from that. Right? Why? Because you see, first and foremost, I was dissatisfied with that situation, and then I cried out to God. I cried out in my heart. I said, Lord, this cannot be. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're struggling with right now. It could be something in your personal life. God is interested. It could be maybe you're concerned that you have gone cold with Him. There's no passion. There's no reality of God in your life. It could be you're struggling with some sinful bondage or addiction that you can't break free of. It could be your family is not exactly in the best of shape, maybe even on the verge of some crisis or breakdown. Or maybe it is in the work sphere. You're not performing. You're not meeting your quota. You're not meeting expectations. Or perhaps you are no different from the non-Christians around you in the terms of your lifestyle, in terms of your values, so that even if you try to share the gospel or talk about Jesus in front of them, they don't listen to you because you discredit yourself. You discredit the message. Now, brothers and sisters, when I say that, I'm not saying it to shame you or to make you feel bad about it. I'm saying to you, you don't have to accept the status quo. You must be like Jabez. Be dissatisfied with it. Be unhappy about it. Want some change to take place, some transformation. Because it is that dissatisfaction that will be the beginning of change and transformation for you. Alright? Being dissatisfied, you see, is knowing that you have born something for more than what you are experiencing, and is accepting, and you're not accepting the status quo. It is believing that God wants you to have more. I'm not talking about being grumbling and complaining, because that very verse I read to you just now in Philippians chapter 2 says that we are not to grumble, we are not to argue, all right? So that we may shine as stars. In fact, it is because of grumbling and complaining that the children of Israel, many of them, fell in the desert, all right? But I'm talking about being dissatisfied in the sense of knowing that you are born for more, that God intends more for you than what you're experiencing, all right? It is wanting you to tap on to what God wants to bless you with. Can I suggest to you that in all likelihood, Jabez, being a Jew, being exposed to Jewish upbringing, would have heard about all that happened at the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. And he would have heard about the miracles of the children of Israel being fed with manna, having water in the desert, coming out of the rocks, all right? He would have heard of how in Jericho, the walls fell down as the people of Israel marched around it. He would have heard about how the sun stood still that day, that longest day, when Joshua was leading the people of Israel to pursue to conquer that land in central Canaan, right? But as he listened to these stories, he says, but I'm not experiencing any of that in my own life. If anything, I'm being cursed because of my background. And he was dissatisfied. And brothers, sisters, you and I must have that dissatisfaction in our heart, in our spirits, knowing that we are born for more, knowing that God wants us to experience better, knowing and believing that God wants to give us more blessings, goodness, and for good reasons. I'll explain why afterwards. And therefore, dissatisfaction in this sense is the first step towards a breakthrough, transformation, and success. And so, if we're going to overcome difficulties or failures to shine like stars, if we're going to move from favor to flavor, then we must have a dissatisfaction, a healthy dissatisfaction for the status quo. But secondly, there must be the desperation for supernatural flavor, right? I turn your attention again to verse 10, or verse 9 rather. Now Jabez called, verse 10, sorry. Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm. I will come back to that again after this. But he was calling on God to bless him and to enlarge his borders. Can I suggest to you that when we're talking about blessings, what he's asking for is really the supernatural favor of God, the unlimited goodness and blessings that only God can give. Right? It's not just what he could work for. I'm sure he had tried hard enough, but he wanted God to supernaturally intervene so that it was obvious that this man was blessed of the Lord. So that it was obvious that God's presence was with him, and so that people around can take notes. Hey, he had a difficult background. He has a lousy name. His future was bleak. But something happened. God supernaturally intervened. God's favor was upon him. And then something changed within him. And let's look at God's blessings. Why might God want to bless us in this way? Can I suggest to you that God is good and He wants to bless us, His children, because He's a good father. And it is in the nature of good fathers to want to have good things for His children. And not only that, but God wants to redeem whatever is not good and turn it around for our good, because He loves us, and He has our welfare, our interest in His mind. I mean, just look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You probably all know that verse. God works all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. All right. So He wants to redeem those not so good things and turn them into good things for us. All right. So you think about it for a moment. Actually, if you look at the book of Genesis, all right, that's another story. But can I suggest to you that if you look at Genesis, the word blessings keep popping up again and again throughout the book, giving you the idea that God wants to bless. But every time you see in the book of Genesis something that's not right, okay, God is trying to turn it around for the good of His people. So when Joseph was sold into Egypt, when Joseph was imprisoned, bad things. But Joseph was the first one to testify at the end when he reunited with his brothers, right? When his father passed away, he says that which you intended for evil, God meant it for good. Alright? So God is always in the business of turning around whatever is not good for His children to work out for their good. Alright, you must have that faith and that understanding in God. He wants to bless you because it's in His nature to bless you. Alright? But I want to say this caveat. But you probably won't experience too much of that except by the grace of God, unless you ask for it. In James chapter 4, verse 2, James says, you have not because you ask not. Alright? And sometimes we miss out simply because we're not dissatisfied with what is past and we're not asking God for what else we want to have. Alright? Reminds me, just yesterday I was talking with one of my colleagues and he was sharing with me how recently he successfully got a flat through the sale of balance flats, right? And he was telling me how Pastor, you know, got a really good, I'm on the 24th of the 25 floor block, right? Sea view, right? And new flats, right? Sale of balance, right? And then he said that, you know, when this block was completed, that was well before the sale of balance thing. My wife and I had actually come to look at this place, and my wife was just saying how I wish we could have a unit in this block, right? Sea view, right? She was so excited, and it was just expressing her wish. And then he commented to me, he said, you know, Pastor, my wife had that wish, but actually for me, I wouldn't even dare to make such a wish. I wouldn't even dare to have such a dream, right? And then I kind of like spontaneously said to him, well, God gave it to you, not because you prayed for it, but because He heard the silent prayer of your wife, all right? But that's the problem with some of us, okay? We dare not even trust God that He might want to give us good things. Alright? We may not be unhappy with whatever status quo we have, right? But secondly, we're not desperately wanting for God's supernatural favor and intervention to be experienced in our lives. And therefore, we don't ask for it. Alright? But if we ask for it, God, because He's a good, loving Heavenly Father, is more than happy to grant it to us. Alright? Of course, I mean, there may be reasons sometimes why he might either delay it or withhold it from you to give you something else, right? But you can trust that he is acting out of his goodness as your loving Heavenly Father. But Jabez did not only ask for blessings, alright? Oh, by the way, notice he didn't specifically ask for a specific blessing. He trusts God that whatever blessings God would give him would be better than whatever he was having right now. Right? He just asked God to bless him, to have supernatural favor released upon him. Right? Extraordinary goodness released upon him. Right? But secondly, he did ask God that his borders may be enlarged, may be increased. Right? And in other words, he's asking God to increase his authority and influence. He's asking God for more responsibilities, for more people to manage or to be in charge of, for more estates, right? And can I suggest that if you were to put it into our present context, it is for God to give you more leadership influence, right? If you are in sales, maybe, for more, whether more sales, or maybe more accounts, more products, more services under your charge, all right? If you were in, maybe in a teaching profession, all right, that you would be able to teach and, inspire them that they will kind of like change in their attitude towards studies and towards whatever they're learning, all right? And maybe even in their character, all right? If you're a parent, okay, that you will be able to so impact your children, all right, that whether they grow up to be God-fearing or that they grow up to be, such model citizens or something because of your impact and your influence, all right? We're talking about influence, we're talking about authority, we're talking about, in my case, maybe for more anointing, all right, for more impactful teaching and preaching, for the ability to impart faith, to stir up faith and conviction in the lives of those who are listening, all right. The question is: are you wanting God to give you that increase, enlarge borders? Learn from Jabez. Be desperate. I mean, first be dissatisfied with the status quo, but be desperate, asking God for the supernatural favor that God more than are happy to give to you, right? And why might God want to give you the enlarged borders? Why might God want to give you the blessings? I have already said just now, it is because God is by nature a good and loving Heavenly Father. But I think the second thing I want to say is this: God wants you to become channels of His blessings so that others will be blessed because you are blessed. So that others will be influenced because your influence has been increased. He wants to impact and, if you like, flavor the agora that you're in through you. In His goodness, He wants you to influence, to touch, and to bless more lives, especially those whom you currently lead, whom you currently take care of. I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about your staff. I'm talking about those that look up to you for leadership, maybe in your cell group. All right? I'm talking about those that you look after, all right? Or those that you aspire to reach out to and influence for the name of Jesus. You see, God wants to bless you. God wants to enlarge your border because He wants to bless the others. If you like, God wants to favor you so that through you, your agora will sense and experience the flavor of God. All right? Moving from favor to flavor. So you can have that confidence and that faith and the conviction to ask God for that favor, for that supernatural favor, flavor and blessing and borders. All right? And so, firstly, if you want to experience overcoming difficulties and failures to shine like a star, you need to be dissatisfied with the status quo. But secondly, you need to be desperate for God's supernatural favor. But thirdly, you and I, we need to depend on the Spirit of God. Right? Now, how do I see this? You see, he did not just ask that God would bless him. He did not just ask that God would enlarge his borders. He asked God that his hand, God's hand, might be with him. Now, what does God's hand mean? Now, in Hebrew poetry, or in Hebrew figurative language, it's quite common for a part of the body to represent the whole body. Alright? So, God's hand basically represents God himself. Alright? So, when he says that your hand might be with me, what he's saying is, God, that you yourself will be with me. Alright? But the hand, also as a figure of speech, is very often in the Old Testament taken to mean power, strength. Alright? And so, the power of God, the strength of God. And so, it is the power of God, the strength of God that operated in creation. Right? So in Psalm 66 verse 2, you find the psalmist says that it was the hand of God that created the universe, the world. And so what we're talking about here is that Jabez was crying out to God that God himself, the totality of God will be with him, that his power and his strength will be made manifest in and through Jabez and whatever he does, so that he will be able to accomplish extraordinary results. Okay? Can I suggest to you that the New Testament equivalent of that is that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Think of this for a moment. Even Jesus himself, being God himself, when he was on earth, he was operating not in his own power, but he was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he took out the scroll of Isaiah. He went to that point in the scroll that says, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news," right? To bring recovery of sight to the blind, and release to the prisoners, and so on and so forth. And then at the end of that, in verse 19, he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What he implies is he's about to start his ministry, but what is he going to minister on the basis of? Not in his own strength, not in his own power, but in the strength and anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, right, Peter was talking about Jesus and how Jesus did all the miracles, healing, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, even the Son of God was operating in the power, the fullness, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What more, you and I? Can I suggest to you that Jabez knew better? When God begins to bless him, when God begins to enlarge his border, he knew he could not depend on his own old abilities, old management skills, old expertise, whatever. Now that God was enlarging his borders, he needed new capacity. He needed new wisdom. He needed new knowledge. He needed new resources to be able to manage all this greater estate, number of people that are under him and his leadership, and so on and so forth. And brothers, sisters, as God begins to bless you, you also need to recognize that you can no longer rely on yourself and your ability to do the work of God or to continue to flavor the society or the agora that you're in, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Actually, this I specifically wanted to highlight in this message, because really, when you think about the whole of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, I think ultimately the main point of how Jabez experienced the breakthrough was he had the hand of God upon him. He depended on the empowerment of God, of the Holy Spirit. And if you are going to break out of whatever setbacks, failures, background, baggage that you have, to break through into success. And when I say success, I'm not just talking about monetary success. I'm not talking about driving a big car. All right? I'm talking about success in accomplishing what God intends for you. Success in impacting the people that God has entrusted to you. Success in flavoring the agora that God has entrusted to you. Well, if you are going to be successful, then you, like Jabez, need to depend on the Spirit of God. Now, let me just leave this with you. And that is that if you look at the books of Luke and Acts, these are two books in the New Testament that talks a lot about the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, accomplishing miraculous things. Okay? If you do a study of these two books, every time that you see mention of the power of the Holy Spirit being manifest, every time that you see a miracle where there's mention of the Holy Spirit doing something, okay, either it will be in the midst of prayer or in response to prayer. Okay? I wish I could develop this for you, but time doesn't permit me to. I leave this to you to do it as an assignment. But this is like FCBS. No, but seriously, every time there is a mention of the Holy Spirit filling a group of people or doing some, accomplishing some miraculous work, okay, it is either in the midst of prayer or in response to prayer. Right? What is the truth that Luke is trying to convey through such a pattern? Can I suggest to you that the truth that it conveys is this? If you are going to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and tap on His power to flavor the agora that you're in, then you must pray. Because it is in the midst of prayer, it is in response to prayer, that you will experience the supernatural flavor, supernatural favor, and the supernatural flavor of God in your ministry, in your influence, in your leadership, in whatever that you're doing. And I don't know, are you all kind of like flowing along with Love Singapore in the 40 days of prayer? Kind of like some of you are, okay? This happens to be the season of the 40 days, alright? July 1st to August the 8th. Okay. Can I just reinforce that theme, that message? That sisters and brothers, if you are going to experience the favor of God so that you can flavor the society, the sphere of influence, the agora that God has entrusted to you, then no two ways about it. Prayer has to be undergirding everything that you do or you hope to do for the Lord. And so, let me in closing tell you a story. The story is told about a farmer that one day picked up a large egg, and he decided to take that egg back into his farm, and he placed that large egg together with the other eggs under the mother hen, for it to hatch. And sure enough, day by day, the eggs were being hatched and little chicks were beginning to appear. All right? And finally, that large egg also began to hatch, and a large chick, if you like, appeared. And in the midst of this growing up together with these chickens, all right, this large chick was also like pecking for the chicken feed, was clucking just like the chicken, and just moving around like a chicken, all right. But the strange thing about it is bigger than all the others. And as it grew bigger and bigger, it became more and more out of place. And then one day, there was an eagle that flew above that farm. And it seemed to be calling out to this large chick. Alright? And this large chick began to have that desire to be like that eagle flying in the sky. Alright? But then when he shared that with the fellow chick says, "Chicken, don't fly." Alright? But there was still this desire within it to want to fly and join that eagle in the sky. Alright? A few days later, that eagle came back and it seemed as if it was calling to this chick one more time. And this time, this large chick went up, made its way slowly to the top of a cliff, and then it began to leap off the cliff and stretch off its wings. And before you knew it, it was flying, soaring in the sky, and going in the direction of that eagle. Why? Because it was never a chicken. It was always an eaglet, and now an eagle. Why am I sharing this with you? Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you are an eagle. The DNA of God is in you. You're a disciple of Jesus. The DNA of the Lord Jesus is in you. You are an eagle. Soar like one. Fly like one. You are a star. The Lord Himself declared you are the light of the world. Paul exhorts, shine like stars. Shine like one. And you are 252 Agora. God intends to favor you so that you may flavor. How can you do that? Well, be dissatisfied with the status quo. Be desperate for His supernatural favor. And depend on the Spirit of God through prayer. So that you will experience the breakthrough that in the first place, God Himself wants for you. It's not that you are being greedy. For goodness sake, don't want for these blessings and enlargement of border for your own ego's sake. I quoted for you just now that you have not because you want not. James also said that you ask and you do not receive because you want it for bad motives, for the wrong motives, for yourself. Not so much to bless others, not so much to help others, not so much to glorify God. But if your desire is to experience a breakthrough, is to break out of that sinful pattern, is to have a godly family, is to perform well at work, is to succeed in some sense in society for the sake of the name of God, for the sake of the blessing of others, so that you can impact and influence others, then I got good news for you. God intends to do that for you anyway. So be dissatisfied with the status quo. Be desperate for supernatural favor. And depend on the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will experience that breakthrough. So with that in mind, I invite Esther and Karen to write. Or just Esther. All right. And I will just sister telling Esther just now, her name actually is this message. Esther, the star. Alright? You are a star. Shine like what? From favor to flavor.
Can we stand and shall we push on? We like today's message. You know, we are stars is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it was His death and the cross that He bore that we have that freedom to fly like the eagle. So even as we take this time to just ponder upon the message that you have just heard, you know, the Holy Spirit is here. Let's say when two or three gather, He's here amongst us. And today, not just that, He's going to just speak to us and lead us everywhere. So if there are any baggage that you are holding on, anything that is on your heart, the Lord says that exchange that with Christ's yoke, because His yoke is easy. And as we worship the Lord, as you lift up your hands as a gesture of surrendering, He's going to come. He's going to let you see that not as a light at the end of the tunnel, but His light as a lamp at your feet as you walk away. To Jesus. Lord, we praise You. We worship You, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank You that You first love us so that we can and we may love You. Thank You that You first love us to give Yourself unto us so that we are free to worship You. You wash my clothes, You bore, so I could live in the freedom You died for. And now my life is Yours, and I will sing of Your goodness forevermore. We worship You. Worthy is Your name, You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Now our shame is gone.
And now my shame is gone. Stand amazed in Your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on. And I will sing of Your goodness forevermore. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. Your name. Oh, Jesus. alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
I just felt that perhaps the Lord just want to minister to some of us, even here, or maybe even those that are viewing this online. But as I was preparing for this, I just sense maybe there is among us someone, maybe you have been stepped on the back, or you have been betrayed at your place of work, and that has held you back. And as I was preparing for this, the Lord just seemed to impress on my mind, there's a need for someone or some people here to release forgiveness. It may be on this person, this colleague, this associate that has stepped you on the back or that has betrayed you, has helped you back. Or perhaps there are some of you, maybe in your growing up years, whether because of nicknames that have been given to you, maybe because of comments, whether from your parents or your teachers or some seniors, that puts you down, that ridicules you, that basically tells you that you're good for nothing, that you wouldn't amount to much. You have been held back. You have had a poor image of yourself. You have kind of like had doubts about yourself. You're not confident. Well, the Lord wants to change that for you, right? The Lord wants you to know, not just in your mind, but in your heart, in your spirit, that really you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, you are the light of the world, you are a star, you are to shine, right? So if these conditions describe you, why don't you just come forward for prayer, right? And then there may be others, you're just dissatisfied with something about yourself, about your present struggles and difficulties that you're experiencing. It's holding you back, right? Why don't you just come and seek the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm dissatisfied with this. Lord, I'm desperate for a supernatural breakthrough and intervention to help me to break out of this. Lord, I come and pray and seek you to show my dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So if any of these describe you, just come to the front. Joanne will pray with you. Maybe Karen will pray with you. I'll be happy to pray with you. But if that is what your need may be, just come forward as we sing this one more time, and we just offer ourselves to the Lord and worship Him. Someone needs to release forgiveness.
You deserve the praise.
Someone needs to shake off negative declarations over you from the past. Maybe you need to, you're dissatisfied second time of something that you're struggling with. Just come by faith. Lord, for His supernatural favor, for the power of the Holy Spirit, for His presence, for His hand to be upon you. Even if it's just one or two of you, respond to His word. Something that is preventing us from soaring, from shining. Lord, help us to be dissatisfied with it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be desperate for the supernatural intervention, breakthrough, favor, and blessing of the Lord. So that, Lord, even as we seek the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we will be able to shine like stars. We will be able to flavor our agora. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Walk with us. Keep reminding us of the truth of this message. And Lord, help us to live it out daily. Thank you so much, Lord. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We come to the end of the service. All right?